Welcome to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong alongside Bill Alexander. Bill, how are you doing today?
Jason, I'm doing good. Hope you are.
I'm doing great, Bill. Excited for the show. We've got plenty to get to today. You've given us a full docket. And first off is something that I'm really excited to hear about because you didn't go into too much detail before the show, but a chance to maybe meet up for some breakfast. What is this?
Well, that's exactly right. I want to invite the men out there to a men's breakfast. And frankly, it's called Early Birds. So it's only for those guys who can get up early because most of the fellas actually meet at 6:30 in the morning, and I normally show up about 7 o'clock because I can't get there earlier than that. But it's called Early Birds, and Early Birds have been around downtown Raleigh for gosh knows how many years. I mean, I've been going for 20 years myself, and it gets in your blood, and it's wonderful. But it's interdenominational. It's at First Presbyterian Church, which is located downtown, right across from the Capitol. And so for those folks who work downtown or live close enough to drive 10 or 15 minutes to get downtown, actually there are folks, I live in the Swift Creek area, and there are certainly fellas who come in every week from Holly Springs and Apex and other places, Cary, that would surprise you in terms of coming to downtown. But it's a wonderful collaboration, if you will. There are lots of folks who come every week, so it's very congenial. $5 for a terrific breakfast, and then we always have a talk and a short devotional. And like I said, it's a wonderful retreat. When I fail to go for any particular reason, or on those rare Wednesday mornings when it's canceled, then it leaves. It leaves me with a hole because it's the kind of meeting that it makes a difference, and I would strongly recommend it to anyone. Now, it is a men's breakfast, so the ladies are not invited. However, for the folks who are downtown or close to downtown, you park in the back. The door you enter is at the parking lot, and it's in the main part of the church. But it, like I said, it's a wonderful retreat, and once folks start going, you keep going because it's, like I said, it's the kind of thing that just gets in your blood and it's meaningful to you. So anyway, it's called Early Birds, and it's at First Presbyterian Church in downtown Raleigh. So Wednesday mornings, think about getting up and going. Oh, and we do get out by 8 o'clock every morning. So it's not an issue in terms of getting to work.
And you can just show up on Wednesday? Do you need to register?
No registration required. Just show up and enjoy. And it's the kind of thing where, like, once you go once, you tend to go back as often as you can.
Excellent. Well, thank you for extending that invitation out to all those who are listening. That sounds like, well, I know personally from spending time with you that Wednesday mornings are always blocked out on your calendar mm-hmm. in preparation for those breakfasts. So, Bill, let's get down to some asset protection topics, and we're going to be talking about irrevocable trusts and Medicaid.
Well, we're going to talk about more than that, but the first thing I want to talk about is the fact is to answer a question that many clients ask, and that is they come in thinking that they want to do an irrevocable trust, particularly so they can put their house or their farm into the trust, thinking that that is the best way to protect it. Now, and we call those trusts five-year trusts because for Medicaid purposes, there's a five-year look back. And quite frankly, everybody who asks to do it They're concerned about what's called Medicaid estate recovery. In other words, they don't want to lose their house or their farm if they need to go into a nursing home need Medicaid, because quite frankly, almost everybody that goes to a nursing home needs financial assistance. It's just outrageously expensive. And most middle-class families, it makes sense to apply for Medicaid. And a big responsibility of elder law attorneys is to help middle-class families get eligible for Medicaid very quickly. And the thing about it is that an irrevocable trust might work well in other states. But frankly, we have other options in North Carolina so that irrevocable trusts tend to be not a great idea for many, many different reasons. Okay, so I need to talk briefly about why you don't want to do one of these irrevocable five-year trusts. All right, so depending on how old folks are, and generally these are seniors who are coming in that have heard that these irrevocable trusts are a good idea. Well, first of all, if you create a trust like that, you are imposed a five-year look-back. So if you have to apply for Medicaid within that five-year period from the time that you created and funded this trust with your house or farm, then the bottom line is you're not going to be eligible with somehow unwinding what you have done. And if you have an irrevocable trust, it can be hard to unwind, and it can be problematic. Now, that's not the only reason, because the biggest problem when creating one of these trusts for Medicaid is that mom and dad, who are trying to protect their home or farm, cannot be a beneficiary of the trust. In other words, you have to create this trust for the benefit of your children. And then suppose that I suspect most folks would expect their children to turn around and then support them in whatever way they needed to be supported. So bottom line is mom and dad are not the beneficiaries of this trust. So that's a huge problem. So any income or rent or anything else that's received, if it's in an irrevocable trust, all that money has to go to the trust and then be distributed to the children and taxed to the children. Now, there's some other problems. And the next one is that if you do this, then now you have likely lost your tax exemptions as it relates to your primary residence, because a single person, these are called 121 exemptions. A single person has a $250,000 exemption from income tax, and a married couple has a $500,000 exemption from the gain on their primary residence. Well, you lose that typically if your property goes into an irrevocable trust like this. Now, the next problem is you've lost control of your land or your home. Not a great idea. Now, you know, obviously you can have a provision where you can stay in your home and that sort of thing. But the next problem, which might be the biggest problem, is the fact that most of us have a far greater risk of needing long-term care at home, or maybe assisted living, or maybe memory care, and Medicaid doesn't have anything to do with that need. In other words, if you need nursing facility care, that's when Medicaid comes to your aid. But if you need care at home, or if you need care in assisted living or memory care, then it's highly likely, unless you're a veteran, that there's no government assistance that's going to be available to you. That means you got to pay for it out of what you have. And that's a far bigger risk. Now, if you own your home or your farm and you need to use it possibly to have the money available to you without being a burden on your kids, then that, you know, that makes more sense, because none of us want to go to a nursing home. That's the last place any of us want to end up. So the fact is we need to keep control of our property. And in North Carolina, there are other ways that we can protect your home. Even if you're already on Medicaid, we can protect your home if you have the right documents in place to do it. And there are lots of different ways of doing it. Elder law attorneys are the ones that know how to get that done. So bottom line is, I don't like five-year irrevocable trusts.
You may have some preconceived notion when it comes to your planning, and that's why it really is important to sit down with an expert, an elder law attorney, and, you know, really explain, okay, you know, the reason why you may like this is for a few underlying reasons. And as Bill just explained, there may be some different options for you that are a better route and also give you more control. If you would like to spend some time with an elder law attorney with WG Alexander and Associates, you can go to wgalaw.com to book yourself some time to speak with a professional. You can also go to wgalaw.com to register for their free webinars that are done the second Wednesday of every month. There's two webinars happening on that Wednesday. The morning session deals with long-term care assistance, a lot of what we just talked about, Medicaid, VA benefits, government assistance for those who are dealing with a long-term care crisis. The afternoon session deals with asset protection and trust planning. The webinars are free to attend. There's no cost associated with them. All you have to do is go to wgalaw.com, click on the seminars button at the top of the page, or call 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be back with more. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Stick around. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Go to wgalaw.com to find information about scheduling some time to speak with an elder law attorney or find information about their free webinars. Go to wgalaw.com, click on the seminars button at the top of the page if you're interested in learning more about long-term care assistance as well as asset protection and trust planning. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, we just spent some time talking about why you don't like most irrevocable trusts when it comes to Medicaid planning. But I know from doing this show, there's some irrevocable trusts that you do like. So let's talk about those.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, just because I don't like one kind of irrevocable trust doesn't mean that I don't like irrevocable trust, because quite frankly, I do. There are lots and lots of cases where an irrevocable trust allows you to stay in control and actually be able to do things for your family that are meaningful. I mean, extremely meaningful. Now, I will say that, frankly, the most common trust I do is what we call a revocable trust. And oftentimes that's a joint revocable trust with husband and wife. Now, with that said, there are lots of folks out there right now that should be thinking, I need to go see a really good attorney to help me avoid estate tax. Because right now we have a very high exemption that we're going to lose in a year and a half. In other words, for those folks who are very wealthy, that right now there's an estate tax exemption of $13,620,000. And if we're married, you can double that number in terms of how much property we can actually get to our children without any estate tax whatsoever. Estate tax is death tax, if you will. It's federal death tax. Now, that high exemption is going to fall back to $6.95 million, or pretty close to that, January 1, 2026. So those folks that have an issue with estate tax need to see an elder, well, not necessarily an elder law attorney, but an estate planning attorney who's very familiar with tax, who can help with a number of different kinds of irrevocable trusts to take advantage of the high exemption. In other words, and a lot of folks don't realize this, but while you're alive, you can take advantage of the high estate tax exemption, not by dying now, but it's because our gift tax exemption is exactly the same. So in essence, now when you use your gift tax exemption, it reduces or eliminates your estate tax exemption. But the whole point is create an irrevocable trust and use your gift tax exemption in order to take advantage of these extremely high exemptions that we enjoy today. So that's one of the main reasons that we do that. Now, there are lots of other irrevocable trusts that we use at our death. You know, we use a revocable trust until we die. But for instance, if we're trying to protect our spouse, oftentimes, and one trust that we use with Medicaid planning is called a supplemental needs trust. And that trust we have in our last will and testament. And it has to be in your will. And we use it because federal law allows us to use it. And whatever we put in this trust is not going to be accountable for Medicaid. There's no five-year look back. There's no sanction or penalty. And there are no handcuffs on it. Typically, it's for a spouse that needs one of the children or more than one to manage things after you're gone. And so there are lots of folks that fall into that situation, and that's a perfect solution. Now, for other folks, we worry sometimes, particularly if we have a second or third spouse, if you will, and we have children by our first marriage or another marriage, if you will. And we ultimately want our estate to go to our children. So there are some irrevocable trusts that we can use at our death to protect our spouse, but to ensure that ultimately all of that property ends up in the hands of our children. As opposed to a sweetheart plan, I leave everything to my third spouse. And then if you do that, trusting your third spouse to leave everything to your children, you might be sorely disappointed. Of course, you won't know because you'll be dead. But the fact is your children will know what you've done. And that will be a blemish on your memory, to say the least. And there's a way you can avoid that potential problem from occurring. Sure, you can use an irrevocable trust to not only protect your spouse, but also to protect your children. You can have, you've got a marriage going on right now, but if you die first, you may want to use an irrevocable trust to have remarriage restrictions so that if your current spouse remarries after your death, that it requires a prenuptial agreement and a lot of other things, and where you can actually cut them off if so that your irrevocable trust ends up in the hands of your children. And that has a lot to do with it. Or a more common kind of thing that a lot of my clients use is we're concerned about our children. And we're concerned that they might end up in a divorce. You know, divorces come so unexpectedly these days. And we don't want what we've left to our children to end up in the hands of an ex-spouse of a child. So guess what? We can create a lifetime irrevocable trust that our child can control. That's always important with me, that has lots of flexibility and options in it. But the fact is that in the event that there's a divorce in their future, the ex-spouse isn't going to get a nickel out of that irrevocable asset protection trust that you've created for your child's benefit. And I will tell you that the great majority of my clients, they love those trusts. They work extraordinarily well. So I know we need to take a break, but like I said, there are lots and lots of trusts, and I can talk about some others when we come back.
We will talk about more of those. You can go to WGALaw.com if you would like to schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney. As Bill just described, it's really important to have an experienced elder law attorney at your disposal who can guide you through so many options when it comes to planning. And we all have different needs when it comes to our families as well. And having someone who's seen a lot in their time really does help you find the best solution for you. You can go to WGALaw.com or call 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. And don't forget, the free webinars are open for registration if you would like to register for the next set of webinars happening on Wednesday, June 12th. Go to WGALaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. A quick break and back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back after this. Listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. If you would like to attend the WG Alexander & Associates free webinars, you can go to WGALaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. These are happening on Wednesday, June 12th. They're done the second Wednesday of every month, and they cover two very important topics. The morning session deals with long-term care assistance. This is critical information for families who are dealing with a long-term care crisis. This covers Medicaid, VA benefits, forms of financial assistance for most middle-class families who are dealing with a long-term care crisis. The afternoon session deals with asset protection and trust planning. If you would like to attend for free, there's no cost associated with these. Just go to WGALaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And speaking of trusts, Bill, we're having a discussion related to irrevocable trusts that you're a fan of.
Well, there are other times that folks should consider an irrevocable trust. And one would be if we want to provide support for a loved one. That happens all the time, particularly when we have an elderly parent or grandparent. And we want to make sure that if something bad happens to us, that our parents are supported. And quite frankly, you can do that with an irrevocable trust in your will or an irrevocable trust, you know, that's part of a revocable trust plan, if you will, so that if you pass, that you carve out something for your parent or potentially a special child, because you may be blessed with children who are really good with money and they are not going to have a taxable estate. And so you want to leave your property outright to them, but you have one child that's giving you problems. And by problems, it might be that they're a special need. Now, I'm not saying special needs children are a problem. They're not, but they're special. But you might have a child that's a spendthrift or a child with addiction problems. You know, it's not uncommon. You know, the fact is we can't control what our children do as much as we would like to. So the fact is that problems like that exist in many, many families. And so Obviously, if you have, if you're trying to support a parent at your death, you can create an irrevocable trust and then control that money at the parent's death so that the money that you've set aside for the parent ends up going to your children or grandchildren after your parent or grandparent passes. Or it might be that you have a child that you know can't handle money, or you don't want them having the responsibility because you know it'll just lead them into greater addiction issues, or the fact that they just don't know how to manage money properly. And then there are different ways to handle that, but the fact is that you don't want to just willy-nilly say everything outright to all my kids equally, don't want to treat anybody differently, and if they can't manage their money, then too bad. They'll lose it and it's gone. You know, we don't think like that as parents, or we shouldn't. So it's the kind of thing where we can do something about it with good planning. That's what it's all about. Now, you know, folks who are in the high wealth categories, there are tons of, you don't have to be high wealth to where you can use an irrevocable trust to the advantage of your loved ones. But those in high wealth categories, it's like, I don't know anybody that wants to overpay the government. So the fact is that there's a lot of tax planning that can be done effectively. And for the really high wealth folks, they need to be seeing estate planning, tax lawyers soon, because there are a lot of trusts that need to be created this year and funded this year or next year in order to be able to preserve these high exemptions for our high wealth families. With that, when we come back, I want to talk about the other side of doing good documents. In other words, your parents have done really good documents, but where are you in this, and how does it relate to you?
That's going to be a fascinating discussion, because it's something that, you know, we don't put a whole lot of thought into. We think of, you know, who we trust, but what is their perspective look like? So we're going to get into that discussion. Don't forget, if you would like to register for the free webinars happening on Wednesday, June 12th, be sure to go to wgalaw.com. Click on the seminars button at the top of the page. It is free to register. There's no cost associated with the webinars. A wonderful chance for you to learn more about long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, forms of financial assistance for most middle-class families who are dealing with a long-term care crisis. And the afternoon session deals with asset protection and trust. Go to wgalaw.com or call 919-256-7000. 919-256-7000 to register for the free webinars happening on Wednesday, June 12th. We're taking a short break, but we'll be back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Stick around. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. You can go to WGALaw.com for a number of reasons. One, if you want to learn more about WG Alexander and Associates, schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney. That's one reason you can go to WGALaw.com. If you would like to register for their free webinars, you can go to WGALaw.com. Click on the seminars button and you'll be able to register for their free webinars, learn more about long-term care assistance, as well as asset protection and trust planning. Or if you want to catch up on Asset Protection Today, there are plenty of links there to catch up on past episodes and information on Bill's podcasts as well. That's all at WGALaw.com. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. And Bill, we've spent some time discussing irrevocable trusts and creating trusts, and now we want to focus a little bit on the folks who are in charge of the trust.
Well, frankly, I mean, we talk a lot, or I talk a lot about creating good documents and good legal documents. And typically, that will include a last will and testament. It will include a general durable power of attorney. It will include a health care power of attorney. And for those who have particular issues that we can resolve, oftentimes we have a trust or more than one trust in terms of taking care of their issues. So now the client has created wonderful documents. We have good documents in place. And it just so happens that you are the person who's appointed to take care of things. You know, mom's appointed you as her agent under her general durable power of attorney. She's appointed you as her health care agent under her health care power of attorney. She's appointed you the executor under her last will and testament. And she's appointed you as the trustee of her revocable trust at during her lifetime, and you're the administrative trust at her death. So what does that all mean to you? Well, frankly, it means, I mean, bottom line is, I mean, you're hopefully you'd want to take care of your mama anyway. But the bottom line is now you have legal authority to do things on her behalf. So what does all that mean? Well, first of all, let's talk about the general durable power of attorney. That is a financial power of attorney. It's also the document that for most people, they get a very simple power of attorney. Oftentimes, it's what we call a short form power of attorney. And I hate that form. And I hate it because it doesn't tell you what you can do or not do. And so I try to stay away from that form, but it's the most common power of attorney form out there. Lawyers love that form for whatever reason. Not elder law attorneys, by the way, but other attorneys, that's what they typically use. And so for seniors, I always tell seniors you need an enhanced power of attorney drafted by an elder law attorney. But regardless of that, the fact is we're talking about you're appointed as the agent. So first of all, no matter how you're appointed, whether you're appointed as an executor, as an agent under financial power or a healthcare power or a trustee, it gives you a fiduciary duty, and that's important because, number one, in North Carolina, now this varies from state to state, but in North Carolina, your number one fiduciary duty is to do what you're authorized to do under the document consistently with what your mother would want done. If you know what she would want, your job is to do that as her agent. And if you don't know what she would want, then your secondary duty in North Carolina is to do what's in her best interest. Now, that gives you a lot of leeway, all right? So if you're the agent and now you're acting as agent, and that normally means you go to the bank and get on the signature card, you talk to the investment advisor and you get on their account with mom and all of that good stuff, so that you can sign on mom's behalf. But the fact is the first thing you need to do is to read the document so that you know, or at least have some idea, some understanding of what your authority is. Because unlike with a lot of contracts, this is not where you can ask, you know, do and then ask for forgiveness. This, you have to be specifically authorized to do whatever by the document itself. So if the document doesn't authorize it, you don't have the authority to do it. And it's really, really important for folks to understand that, because as attorneys, we see people who are acting as agent thinking they can do anything and everything, and they can't. And oftentimes in those situations, they will abuse their authority. And guess who's liable when you're an agent and you've abused your authority? You're liable, you know, for any kind of mistake that you've made. So, and if you have a short form power of attorney, you're not going to have a clue what you're authorized to do or not do unless you do one of two things. You get a copy of the specific authorities out of the general statutes of North Carolina. Now, you know, on the internet, you can do that, actually, and I would recommend that. And if not, then you need to make an appointment with an attorney who knows how to cut and paste so that they can give you that and possibly and hopefully give you some counseling as it relates to your authority and what you can do and what you can't do. But in essence, your mom has asked you to take care of her bills, take care of her needs, protect her property, and the like. And for most, if it's protect the property, you better go see an elder law attorney. Now, I know that's self-serving, but the fact is that normal estate planning attorneys, they're not into asset protection planning. They typically are into how do you want to dispose of your property at your death, not how to protect it while you're alive. That's a big difference between an elder law attorney and an estate planning attorney. So, but the main thing is read the document, make sure you understand what you can do, and then do it to the best of your ability. Now, same rules apply with a healthcare power of attorney. Most powers of attorney for healthcare don't really have any limitations in them, although a few do. Most of the limitations typically are religious ones. And of course, if you've grown up in that household, you know what those limitations are. But otherwise, you're there to make decisions when mom cannot communicate with her physician, or and oftentimes that falls down to the agent to, again, make decisions consistent with what mom would do. That, I mean, that's what it's all about. Now, obviously, your general durable power of attorney, just to make it clear, upon mom's death, that document is absolutely void the moment she dies. Absolutely void. Now, the healthcare power of attorney is mostly void. There is one small exception that allows the healthcare agent to make a decision after mom dies, and that is simply to authorize where mom's body goes upon her death. In other words, you have the ability to say, send the body to this funeral home or whatever. But once you've done that, then your job's over, and that power of attorney is totally void. Okay, so that's void. So how do you go from there? Well, if there's a will and not a trust, then typically you have to take the death certificate to the clerk of superior court with the will, and then be appointed the executor, and that's through a court process. The probate is where the clerk actually accepts the will as the last will and testament, mom's will. And then you have a court administration for whatever's not in mom's trust. Now, I shouldn't say that. It might be in her trust, or there might be a beneficiary designation, and hopefully... hopefully everything ends up in the trust to be administered that way. If you're a trustee, and responsible for that, then it's a little bit different. And I guess the most important thing is, again, read the document, because it's going to have lots of instructions in it. And these are expectations of what mom expects. And during her lifetime, it's more than just paying the bills. Hopefully, the trust has what we call a disability plan in it. My trust do, that's for sure. And those are instructions for you and as trustee, and you have a fiduciary responsibility to follow mom's instructions in that contract, because that's what a trust is. It's an agreement. It's a contract. And as trustee, you have a fiduciary obligation to follow that contract, to follow the guidance that's in that trust. And how are you going to do that if you don't read it and digest it and understand what's in the document so that you know what you can do? I mean, that is so important when it comes to being a trustee. Now, there is another little thing that's really important for folks to understand, and that's this. If you're an agent under a power of attorney, that gives you zero authority for any property that's in a trust. That's important. You must be a trustee or co-trustee to deal with trust property. So trustee doesn't have any authority over property that's not in the trust, and the agent has no authority over property that is in the trust. So, you know, two different hats. You know, sometimes one person is wearing both hats. Sometimes that's not true. So you just have to understand where your authority begins and where it ends.
Well, it's an important perspective to have, because these are some very important decisions and some very important responsibilities as well. If you need assistance with your planning, get a hold of an elder law attorney. Go to WGALaw.com to speak with someone on the team at WG Alexander & Associates. You can also attend their free webinars happening on Wednesday, June 12th. Just go to WGALaw.com and click on the seminars button at the top of the page. A quick break and back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back after this. This is Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Bill, before we head out today, you had a nice invitation out for all the men listening. I wanted to make sure we hit that again here.
Absolutely. At Early Birds at First Presbyterian Church in Raleigh, downtown, across from the Capitol. If you just want a great breakfast with good collegiality, show up between 6:30 and 7 o'clock on Wednesday mornings, and you'll be glad you did.
Wonderful. And be sure to go to WGALaw.com if you are interested in scheduling some time with an elder law attorney or want to learn more about the webinars. Click on the seminars button at the top of WGALaw.com or call 919-256-7000. 919-256-7000. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Bill Alexander, I'm Jason Kong. Thanking you so much for listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Have a wonderful day.